Good morning and welcome. We're delighted to have you joining us for Coffee with the Coder, episode 77. And wow, did we have fun on the insider portion. That was really something. So, hey, Paula.
Good morning. How are you, Pam?
Wonderful, wonderful. Lots of new folks dialing in at 10:10. We're excited to have them, and we're excited for episode 77. I do want to remind folks, those of you who are insiders, you already heard this, but I'm going to tell you again, because there's some new folks calling in right at 10:10. There is, at aq-iq.com, you can reach out to us and ask questions with Coffee with the Coder. You can also hear all the previous episodes. Just go to aq-iq.com and look in the blue and white stripe for the word Ask Us. There's a drop down there that goes to Coffee with the Coder. And if you want to send us a message, we'd love to hear your thoughts on what's going on with Coffee with the Coder, or send a question. And, of course, you're allowed to send anonymous questions or use your name. That's up to you. We don't use that information to determine whether or not to answer your question, which you'll find out today. but there is one, I guess you would say, one super good reason to put your name, if you will, and that is that we have a process that we call, quote, mugging, unquote, where we have designed and crafted a particular mug for your hot drink that has Coffee with the Coder on it. And we only give those away. You can't buy them. But the way you get to have one given to you is you submit a non-anonymous question through that page. And when your question is selected for that episode, you go in a drawing. So today there will be a drawing, and someone will win a mug, and we'll call that a mugging because I'll mail it to them. The fella at the post office teases me about mugging people because I'm mailing off mugs almost every other Monday. So anything else I didn't mention yet so far, Paula?
I don't think so. I think you got it all.
Okay, great. Well, let's just jump right into today's questions. The first one is anonymous. Like I said, it doesn't matter. You can ask an anonymous question. It looks to me like it's from an inpatient rehab. So let me get this a little bigger where I can read it. The person says, I'm looking at a patient who has a spinal cord injury, paraplegia, secondary to a motor vehicle accident back in 2003. Now they're back in the hospital for a paraspinal abscess. The impairment group is coded as a traumatic spinal cord injury, but I believe it should be non-traumatic spinal cord injury since it's related to the paraspinal abscess rather than the actual motor vehicle crash 15 years ago. What do you say?
Okay, I love this question. So thank you for asking it, Anonymous. I certainly see your thought process here, but there is one rule that you have to consider that you may not be thinking about. Now, we are directed when a patient is a spinal cord injury and they return for something that is a natural consequence of that spinal cord injury, they are going to remain in the IGC for the initial spinal cord injury. So that said, because this patient had a paraspinal abscess, there's some question here. Is it associated? We might need to query the physician to get clarity on it. What was the cause of the abscess? Is it associated to the spinal cord injury? Is there interrelationship to the original spinal cord injury? If so, then you would still report that original spinal cord injury IGC. If not, then we agree with non-traumatic spinal cord injury. I kind of think it might be associated, though, so I would absolutely query the doc to see if there is some association with it, or, you know, have those conversations so that he can get that documentation in the medical record so that it's clear for anyone falling behind you after you've submitted that IRF PI.
Thank you. Okay, so, oh boy, next one's anonymous. Wow, anonymous is really getting us a lot of questions. So let's see. This patient, this also looks like an inpatient rehab to me. This patient has an IGC COPD, which is 10.1. The etiologic diagnosis is COPD exacerbated. The patient is now in rehab with weakness functional decline from having the COPD exacerbated. So if the exacerbation is resolved in the inpatient setting, what do we have the primary on the UBO for? Is it the weakness with secondary diagnosis of COPD J44.9? And if the COPD is still documented to be exacerbated in rehab, is the primary now COPD exacerbated J44.1 with the same weakness functional decline that's documented? Seems like a fine line.
Okay, and Pam, let me, I just say that for those on the line who don't quite know, understand, you know, you're saying you can submit anonymous, but you would submit with your name, give us your email address, but then refer to the fact that you want the question to be anonymous, and that is absolutely fine. We won't call out your name, not even your first name. So that said, thanks for the question. So what she's asking, let me just repeat, that this patient goes in COPD 10.1 IGC, and the patient, there could be two scenarios. The patient could either have COPD exacerbation in the acute side and it no longer be exacerbated when the patient is admitted to rehab, but we need to know what's the principal diagnosis on the UB04. We're not talking about the etiologic diagnosis on the IRF-PI, but the principal diagnosis on the UB04. Now, also, she says, what if it is exacerbated when they go in rehab as well? So there you have it. So the question is, what is my principal diagnosis? Now, for those of you guys who don't know, this is the kind of stuff we talk about in IRF-PRO Labs. From the perspective of coding the principal diagnosis, we actually created a logic tree that it works most of the time. It's not 100%, but it does work most of the time. And it's a series of questions that you ask based on the answer, and it's actually only a couple questions that you ask, and based on the answer, you can progress to the next question, or you can have your answer as far as what is the principal diagnosis. And it's not really that hard. Like I said, it's just a couple of questions. So, number one, I ask, does the condition still exist? If the condition still exists, and let's say the principal diagnosis is the chief reason determined for occasioning the admission, okay? So that's the definition of it. If the condition still exists, then the COPD exacerbation, yes, then J44.1 is reported, so the COPD exacerbation. When, again, if yes, you're going to code it. If no, then you're going to go to the next question. Did surgery repair it? If yes, you're going to code the aftercare or the appropriate injury with the correct seventh character. If no, you're going to code the residual or symptoms such as the weakness. That said, exacerbation of COPD may feel a little different. If the exacerbation does exist, like I said, of course, it's reported as the principal. If it does not exist, the COPD itself still does exist. It's just not in an exacerbated state. So we see a very strong argument to report not the weakness, but the COPD J44.9 as the reason for admission, as a principal diagnosis, the chief reason for occasioning the admission, because it is still there and the COPD is what caused the admission, okay? If the COPD was completely resolved, meaning, and I know COPD doesn't go away, but think about other conditions, if it was completely resolved and the residual was all that was left, then you would report that residual as the principal diagnosis. Hope that makes sense for you.
Thank you, thank you. Oh boy, we just got a new wrinkle. This is wonderful. Everyone who dialed in is in the running, even if you didn't ask a question. Because this question, our last question, is also anonymous. So what I've been doing is copying down your last four of your phone number. And anyway, we'll go forward. This is from Anonymous, and this one was submitted via email. We're hoping that you'll be willing to help us with a case that's getting pretty challenging for us. We have a discrepancy between coding and what the PPS team feels. Coding provided I-24.8. PPS does not want to put that on the PI, the IRF-PI, that is. Can that be used on the IRF-PI? There have been a lot of communications back and forth. I've asked for a query, but coding is unsure if we should even do a query because the linkage is there, but the verbiage is turning the PPS team off.
Okay. So, yeah, and I just want to also go into that a little bit further. So, guys, if you dialed in today, like Pam said, you are in the running for a coffee mug because all the questions were anonymous, and they were all about IRF today. So we did talk about diagnosis coding for anyone at the beginning in the insiders portion if you dialed in. But for this particular question, and this person sent me the question specifically. We have been in communication for a number of years. And so I responded back, and she sent me some documents. So the physician basically stated in the documents troponemia likely due to demand ischemia. Now, without a confirmed statement, the coder for inpatient rehab encounters, and this is something that is not clearly known around the country, because you have to go back to the ICD-10 guidelines, and, you know, when I'm explaining it, the ICD-10 guidelines say, they list every setting that it you would use the possible probable rule in, and inpatient rehab facilities are not listed there. So we are directed by all the authorities, pretty much, that we can find. There was one that we are continuing to go back to CMS on because they have issued some wrong information on this and a number of cases. So we're really we have gone back and not got a response yet. But that said, our rules for a number of years have said in the inpatient rehab setting, we cannot report unconfirmed conditions. So the fact that the physician said, you know, likely due to demand ischemia, doesn't clearly say that the patient had demand ischemia. So without that firm statement, the coder cannot report that unconfirmed demand ischemia in the IRF setting. A query could determine if the condition existed or was just possible. Otherwise, the coder would report only R79.89, which is one of the symptom codes. So anyway, just wanted to let you know that. So in the inpatient rehab setting, it's possible, probable, unconfirmed conditions are not reported. And that includes on the UB04 and the IRF-PI. So, Pam, back to you.
Thank you. Okay, so before I draw the name, I'm going to mention our Black Friday sale. Christine and I came up with this idea, and we don't want to wait till Black Friday. We're going to do it this Friday, November 22nd. So you'll need to reach out to us either at least by then. So anything after November 22nd, this does not apply. Okay. But we're on Black Friday. We're having a special, on our Black Friday, we're having a special buy one, get two free. And the special Black Friday price on our courses is $29. So you pay $29 for one, you actually get three. Pick what you want. You'll be communicating with our staff to make sure that they all go in your account, whichever one that you're getting for free. And so anyway, I think Christine will probably send an email. If you're not on our email list, be sure to hop over to aq-iq.com and get on the email list. Reach out to us on social media. And now let me see. I've got all the numbers.
Hey, Pam, before you draw, you know, I'm just going to, you know, they did this, guys, without me knowing at all. But I feel like it's important for those guys who didn't dial in, for the insiders to know what the insiders got that they didn't. So,
let
the cat out of the bag, because we want everybody to be insiders so they get to, you know, have some discussion and learn some other
Alrighty.
Stuff.
Well, the insiders are going to get an extra free one. So everyone who dialed in on the call can take advantage of the buy one, get two free, but the insiders are going to get three free. So the early bird gets the worm here this time. And our Black Friday is November 22nd, which is this Friday. We're not going to wait till the day after Thanksgiving. We're all otherwise occupied that day. And
so, Pam, just one more question for you. So because our Black Friday is the 22nd, can they go ahead and let you know or purchase
now?
If
they reach out to me before, you know, close the business on the 22nd, I'll count it as the 22nd, yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
So you can reach out to us on Facebook or any of the ways that you communicate with us. Our phone number is 877-976-6677. And, of course, it's on the website on the front page, so you'll find it there. It might even be on all the pages. Okay, so I'm stirring up these things, and let's find out who. Okay, so you're calling from a facility in South Georgia. So I don't have your name. I have your facility name, which I won't call out, but your phone number ends in 1000. So I'm going to reach out to you, and I have a list of people who have talked to me before from this number. I'm going to reach out to you and find out who you are. Congratulations on winning, and I don't know your name yet, so I will find out. Thank you all for being here today, and let's see, the next episode, 77, is on December the 2nd. episode 77. We're looking for your questions and your interaction with us.